The year is 605 BC, the year of the Babylonian invasion by Nebuchadnezzar into the nation of Judah. This was the first of three invasions until Jerusalem was captured. The nation destroyed, and the majority of the people are carried away into captivity. Jehoiakim is the king of Judah church at this time, and God is going to give his prophetic message one more time to warn his people of the coming invasion and destruction. In chapter 36, verses 1 through 3, you're going to see the reasoning for God's word. God tells Jeremiah to take a scroll and write it all the words that he spoke to him. Church, there are two reasons that God gives why God's message needed to be given and recorded. First, God says in verse 3, so that everyone may turn from his evil way. Heartland, God wants to inform the people of their sin. God doesn't, Brother Scott, want to surprise his creation with judgment. That's not how God works. God does not want to conceal his laws so that judgment becomes a surprise. Church, God wants his people to know the laws. People need to be informed of their sins. Second, God gives his word so that the people can turn from their evil ways and he can forgive them. God's word is so that people will turn away from their evil ways and God can forgive them. Church, God doesn't want to judge people for their sins. That's not what he wants to do. If he did, he wouldn't have sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. The purpose of God's word, listen, the purpose of God's word, Brother Scott, is to save. That's the purpose. And this means that we need to know God's word and should want to know God's word because these are the words of life to keep us from the judgment for our sins. God is teaching us how to turn from our evil ways. And then in verses 4 through 12, God is going to proclaim his word. God further wants his word proclaimed in verses 4 through 12. Jeremiah instructs Baruch to proclaim the word of the Lord from the scroll in the hearing of all the people in the house of the Lord. He was to go to the temple and read God's word. Church, Jeremiah selected a day of fasting when the people would be assembled at the temple. He didn't wait for when a few people would be there, but when the most people could be there. Not only this, he was to read God's word in the hearing of all Judah. Make sure that all the people, as they come out of the cities, are hearing the word of the Lord. This is why we teach the word of God. This is why we teach the word of the Lord is read, rather. People need to hear the word of God so that they will turn from their evil ways and God will forgive them. Church, right now, we live in a time when the world tells us to keep our beliefs to ourselves. They tell us to keep quiet about God. Don't mention Jesus. keep your religion to yourself. But Heartland, we cannot do this. We must proclaim the word of God, not only at Heartland, but outside of the building. God wants people to hear his words, turn from their evil ways. Why, Brother Red? So God can forgive them. God wants people saved. However, God cannot forgive people, and God cannot forgive, rather, until people turn from their evil ways. But people will not turn from their sins until they have heard God's word. This is why we have our Bible classes, so that you will invite your friends to come and hear the word of God, so that you will know the word of God to teach them. This is why we meet together on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Sundays. We meet together, church, to study and to discuss God's word. We are the teachers of the words of God. We are to be proclaiming the very oracles, Brother Scott, of God. We are the lights in this dark world by opening our mouths and spreading the message of salvation for sins. That's why we do it. We're supposed to do it. Not only this, but the need for the proclamation of God's word is why we need to have, listen, verse by verse and chapter by chapter teaching and preaching from God's word. There is a need for expository preaching and teaching. God's word is the revelation of God that has the power to turn our hearts so that God can forgive us. We would not only be remiss, but derelict in our duties if our Bible classes were not studied directly from God's word. I would be failing as a proclaimer of God's word if my teaching is not from the very words of God's book, the Bible. Can I tell y'all something? Any sermon that does not open God's word and declare the very words of God, listen, is human wisdom, human knowledge, and is a failure. My words as a man do not have the power to transform and save. God's word, listen, it's God's words that have the power to transform and save. We want God's word. It is God's word that must be proclaimed. Nothing more and nothing less. Open the word of God and learn what it has to say. It is the only way, Heartland, that you're going to know God's will. It is the only way that hearts will be turned to the Lord. So Baruch does just as he was instructed. Verse 8 tells us that Baruch did all that he was instructed. He wrote God's word on the scroll and proclaimed it in the temple of the Lord. Verse 9 tells us that nearly 1 year has gone by and Baruch is still preaching, Brother Scott, to the people. He's still reading God's word to the people as they come out from their towns of fasting to the Lord. The likely reason for this fasting is because now the Babylonians have already invaded. The Babylonians have already destroyed many cities and have likely already taken people captive. Baruch is still reading the very words of God as said through the mouth of Jeremiah. What will be the reaction, however, of the people to the proclamation of God's word? Look at verses 13 through 19. And verses 14 and 15 tells us that the officials of the city asked Baruch to read the scroll. In verse 16, when they heard all the words, they turned one to another in fear. In other words, they weren't afraid. They reverenced God's word. Heartland, they have the right response. They have heard the word of the Lord and realize the doom that is proclaimed by God against this nation for its sins. The officials tell Baruch that they need to report all these words to the king. However, they know how this could turn out. They know that this message from God could cause trouble for those who do not want to hear this sharp message that comes from God, Brother Scott. But notice in verse 19 that the officials tell Baruch that he and Jeremiah need to go hide. In other words, y'all need to move around because trouble is coming. This is a terrific message. The officials understand the need to defend the proclaimer of God's word. They are afraid that the typical reaction to a negative message will occur. You know what the typical reaction is, Brother Scott? Shoot the messenger. If you don't like the message, kill the messenger. When you read the book of Jeremiah, church, you will observe that this has been the response of the people throughout Jeremiah's ministry. Rather than listening to the word of the Lord, they're trying to silence, discredit, and sometimes kill Jeremiah. But the word of the Lord is the authority, not the speaker. This is why I tell you all the time, get your Bible, follow along, and make sure that your teacher, your preacher are saying things that come from the Bible. I have people tell me all the time, well, Brother Richard, my preacher said, your preacher's mouth is not a prayer book. You need to get the Bible. And we need to consider that if the message is the reading of God's word, then you can be angry at the message and not like the message all you want. But it's the message of God. Too often, we can have a heart that rejects the message because we don't like its content. We don't like what it said. The question becomes, was it what God said? Was it the reading of God's word? If it was, listen, then we need to put aside our feelings and have a fear, a reverence for the word of God. Church, it's easy for teachers and preachers to tailor their sermons based upon what they think people will like to hear. They want to hear that they did a good job. So preachers and teachers oftentimes will cater to that because they want to make sure, Sister Marlowe, that they're not offending anybody. They just cater to what people want to hear. Sister Body, that'll never happen at Heartland. I can tell you that right now. We're going to say what's in the Bible because that's what God said. And Brother Hayden, that's our responsibility. I know you're a young man aspiring to be a good Bible student. You just say what God said and stay right there. Don't you worry about who's going to get offended. Now, you will never hear me say things in a mean-spirited way, but I'm not going to say things, and nobody has the right to say things that doesn't align with the word of God. We need to stay right there and say what aligns with the word of God. People want to hear, Brother Scott, that they're doing a good job, but what is important, in fact, the only thing that is important is that it was the word of God proclaimed. Church, we need to understand that God's word steps on all of our toes. You know why? Because he, God, is a holy God, and we are unholy sinners. Everything God says steps on our toes because he's calling us back in line so that he can save us. Many times you will come up to me and you'll say things like, "Brother Red, that there's something in the message that kind of caught me this morning, and boy, it really stepped on my toes." Well, believe me, everything I preach stepped on my toes. And it should. God's word, listen, is a sword that cuts to the very heart. I've already been cut by the words for the past week or two as I prepared this sermon by studying God's word. The purpose of God's word, church, listen, is to convict us of sin so that we can turn away from our evil ways, not pat us on the back when judgment is coming. When we have a strong response to God's word, the first reaction should not be to shoot the messenger. That's not the first reaction, but to listen to the word of God. Then in verses 20 through 26, he's going to talk about rejecting God's word. But just watch this. Listening to God's word is not the easy thing to do. Notice what happens now in the story. The officials go to the court of the king with the scroll that Baruch had written, which recorded the very words of God. And when he does that, Yehudi begins to read the scroll of Jeremiah while talking to the king that's sitting next to the fire in his winter palace. As Yehudi read a few columns of the scroll, watch what the king does. The king would cut the column off with a knife and throw it into the fire. Yehudi kept reading, and the king kept cutting until the entire scroll had been cut and thrown into the fire. But listen to the serious words of verse 24. "Yet neither the king nor any of his servants who heard all these words was afraid, nor did they tear their garments." Church, listen. When you read God's word, when we read God's word, and like the king oftentimes, the king didn't care, and neither did his servants. None of them were afraid. None of them were moved at all by the word of God. In Jeremiah 37, 25, "Even as the officials were begging the king not to destroy the scroll, the king would not listen." In 2 Kings 22, 11, let me show you the contrast. When King Josiah, he was a good king, faithful king, heard the word of the Lord, he tore his clothes and began massive reforms for the nation to turn them from their sins. But, Heartland, that was not the reaction of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim orders Baruch and Jeremiah to be arrested, but the Lord hid them so that they could not be captured, mistreated, and kill. Church, it's easy for us to cut God's word and burn the scroll today. But I stopped to tell us this morning, don't cut out God's word. I want to say it again, don't cut out God's word. We do the same thing when we never open God's word and read it. If you don't own a Bible and you're a serious-minded Christian, you need a Bible. You need to read God's word. But owning the Bible, just owning the Bible, doesn't do you any good. the good will comes when you read it every day with the intent of obeying it and living for the Lord. This is the word of our God. We cut and burn God's word when we refuse to listen to God's word. I want to say it again. We cut and burn God's word when we refuse to listen to God's word. We choose not to come and assemble ourselves together so that we can learn what God has to say. We would rather sit at home than come to hear the saving words of the God of heaven. There's something wrong with that. And when we do that, we cut and burn God's word when we come hear the message and then do not change our hearts. We cut and burn God's word when we reject the message. We do not consider the word. We just simply decide if we like the message or not. Church, if we like it, great. If we do not like it, just ignore it and come back another time. Heartland, in our hearts, we are destroying, listen, God's word because we are unmoved and do not fear or reverence God's word. Verses 27 through 32. After the scroll is burned, God tells Jeremiah to write another scroll with all the words that were on the previous scroll that was burned. Our response, listen, does not change God's truth. No matter how you respond, it does not change God's truth. Just because we don't like the message or disagree with the message does not mean the message is not true. Further, God has some choice words for our rejection. God tells Jeremiah to not only rewrite the previous scroll, but add some words to it. Verses 30 and 31 record the words of judgment from God against Jehoiakim, his offspring, and his servants. Why, Brother Red? For their sins and because they would not hear. Church, listen. We need to be very cautious about rejecting the word of God. When we decide that we will not listen and that we will not change our hearts or our lives, I want you to hear this good this morning. Then God's judgment is firmly placed against us. There is no grace from God when we reject his words. We cannot cut and paste the Bible so that we can defend our values, our beliefs, our doctrine. I can just tell you this. When I look at people, and we study with a number of people, they hear the word, they know the word, and they will fall back on Sister Murray, what Mama said. Heartland, listen. I plead with us in 2026 as we move forward. Annie, oh, let's just do what God said. Let's not cut out the word of God. Let's not do that. That's what Jehoiakim did. But I submit to you that if we'll just hold on to God's unchanging hand and his words and let God transform our hearts, listen, there won't be anything that God can't do through this body. I know that in the world is kind of an interesting thing. Religion is filled with people twisting scriptures and altering God's word so that they can just kind of keep doing what they're doing and keep believing what they're believing. God has choice words of judgment for rejecting his words. As I close out this morning, I want us to understand that God's word is given so that we can turn from our evil ways and that God may forgive us. God wants to save us. Therefore, we should earnestly desire to hear the word of the Lord. Why, Brother Rich? So that our hearts will be transformed and our lives will be changed when the word of God is proclaimed. We will listen and change, or we will reject and cut God's word out of our lives. Heartland, my encouragement to us is plan for yourself to listen and change. Don't cut God's word out of your life. Listen and change so that God can save you from the coming judgment. And one of the things that I would encourage us all to do is take God's word. I know y'all are tired of hearing me talk about those virtues, but that's how you learn how to live. Colossians, Paul says in Colossians 3, 12 through 14, he says that, here's what I want you to do. He says that, I want you to be patient, to be kind, to be gentle, all of those things. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. If you have a grievance against anybody, forgive as God has forgiven you. And above all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Heartland, I look forward to 2026. And what I'm going to say to us all is set your heart on being a good Bible student with the intent of not only listening, but honoring God's word, fearing God's word. I'm talking about reverencing God's word. That should be our goal for 2026. I want to be a better Bible student. I want to be a better Christian. I want to love my brothers and sisters more. I want to do the things that God would have me do. Don't cut out God's words. That's not where you want to align your thinking. And I'm excited about 2026. And I believe that we can do a lot of good things. My encouragement this morning is to leave you encouraged to know that if we don't cut out God's word from our hearts and our lives and allow God to transform our thinking and our lives, there's nothing we can't do as a church. But we need to set our hearts on, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what I say. I don't care what Sister Murray says, Sister Tangy, Sister D, Sister Olivia, Elise, Brother Booker, Brother Hayden, Annie O, Sister Body, Sister Marlowe, Sister Scott, Brother Scott, rather, not Sister Scott, Brother Scott. I don't care what we think or feel. We need to know God's word verse by verse, scripture by scripture, and set our hearts on not cutting out God's word from our life and the transformation of our living. I just pray that you would hear this message and get set for 2026. I think God will do some great things for us. And I think if we'll just hold on and be what he would have us to be and not cut out his words like Jehoiakim did. A little at a time, he cut it off, cut it out. And we do the same thing when we don't do what God says. But I wanted to see what we shouldn't do, but I wanted to encourage us in what we should do, because we can do this, church. We can do it. God will bless us. If we draw near to our God, he'll draw near to us. If we draw near to each other and love each other the way we're supposed to, the world will see God living in us. And we will exemplify the character of God because of how we live. I'm just encouraged to know that we have people. I see people on the phone that I wanted to see on the phone today. You've heard us pray for Olivia Wilder. She's a new Christian. I'm glad she's on the call today. They had snow where she lived and she couldn't go to church today. But I'm glad she's on today as a young Christian, a young girl, 19 or 20 years old. I am glad that she came. And I'm glad that she has an opportunity to interact with us more. But what I want her to get in, we should be an example. She should see us not cutting out God's word in our lives. We need to be an example for each other. And if you need some help, you ought to be able to call on Brother Hayden. If you need some help, you ought to be able to call on Brother Book. If you need some help, you ought to be able to call on Sister Body, because we've all set our hearts and we're not cutting out God's word. That ought to be our challenge and charge. And if we'll do that, you'll watch God bless us real good. I hope this morning that I've said some things that would encourage your heart. That was my intent. But if you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus, you've never been baptized, as a part of God's invitation, Paul says in Romans 10:17 that you need to hear the word of God. And he's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, the good news. You need to hear about that. Jesus came, Jesus died, he was raised, and he's now at the right hand of God in heaven. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. And you need to believe that happened. That's the first thing. Secondly, you not only need to believe that, the Bible says that in Mark 16, 15, and 16, that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Once you've heard, believe the gospel, the Bible teaches that you must repent of your past sins. In Luke 13, verse 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After you have heard, believed, and repented, the Bible teaches that you must confess the name of Jesus. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that you must not only confess the name, but it's a public confession. He says that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Once you hear, believe, repent, confess, you must be baptized. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter, Peter, what should we do? They just killed Jesus. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And after you've done those things, in Acts 2:47, God will do the same thing for you as he did for the people on that day of Pentecost. God will add you to the church, and that's where your Christian walk with God begins. And I will tell you this, God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. In 1 John 5:13, John says, I write these things so that you can know you have eternal life. Or if you're here this morning and you know that you have been cutting out the word of God, don't continue to do that. Get your Bible. Be a student of God's word. Listen to God's word with the intent to obey God's word. You can do better. When you know better, do better. My encouragement to you is, whatever it is this morning, if you're on the call and you have a need to respond to the invitation of God, then we bid you to do so as we close out our preaching part of the message this morning.